Let us open up God's holy word to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. I'll read the verses 15 to 23. Our text are the verses 20 to 23. The Gospel of John from chapter 21, verse 15 to verse 23. This is the living word of the living God. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper, and it said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread among the brothers that his disciples was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray for a blessing upon the preaching of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, and that you would speak to each one of us wherever we are in our lives, in our walk of faith, that we might learn from your words, O Lord Jesus Christ, and that by the Spirit you plant them deep in us and water them by your grace. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved friends, in the Christian life, there is one road, and yet there are many different ways on that road. The road is Christ. We all follow Christ to heaven. All Christians follow the same Lord. And so in some way we can say that Christianity is all the same. We all follow Jesus. And yet he leads us in a different way to glory. And we all walk a different path in the Christian life. We all go through different experiences. We all go through different hardships and joys and comforts and sorrows, which Christ uses as we follow the same Christ. For some, it is a life of much suffering and pain and distress, while others, their life seems to be much more lives that are comfortable and pleasant, at least from the outside. And so even though we're all on the same road with our eyes fixed on Jesus, we all walk together and encourage one another to follow Christ, we walk in a different way. The way is decided by God's hidden will, his providence, his sovereignty, as he walks with each one according to his good pleasure and leads us through this life. So in this Christian life, we walk the road with Christ together in one way, but we also walk with Christ alone in the way that he leads us through this life, the way that God has predestined us to go through, and the circumstances that we don't even know that lie before us. And so as Christians, we are called to support and help each other to stay on the road, to stay fixed on Christ, to come together, and when we're wavering to the left or to the right, to encourage one another to stay in the middle and to keep following Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And at the same time, we must be faithful to walk in the way that God has ordained for us. And so in the midst of walking together, we walk alone in this path of life, alone that is alone with Christ. And Peter is showing this to us in his conversation with Christ of what this is all about. You see, Peter had been restored to the ministry. This painful process of Jesus asking him, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And Jesus had forgiven him of his betrayal. And he had reinstituted him into the ministry. And Peter's love, we saw, his love for Christ made him sue to serve him. And so Jesus also told Peter that one day he would die in a way that would glorify God. Right? In that last passage that we read, this, when you are young, you go your own way, but when you're old, and somebody will carry you where you do not want to go. And this was to show by what kind of death Peter would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. With that in his mind, Peter turns around and sees John, the beloved disciple. Another one of the inner circle of disciples who was also on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was also there at the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. He was one of the inner circle, one of the three main disciples of Jesus. Now Peter is curious. If I'm going to die in a special way for Christ, what about this man? How will he end? What is it about his life? What is your way, O God, O Lord, with this man? And so he asks, what about John? What will happen to him? Where will you lead him? And Jesus tells Peter, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And so we see in our text three things, right? We see fleshly curiosity, because Jesus is kind of a mild, at least, but a rebuke nonetheless to Peter, right? He tells him, he says in no uncertain terms, mind your own business. That is not for you to know. That is for me to walk with John. You focus on following me. And so we'll look first at fleshly curiosity, but also Christ's spiritual guidance. And then we'll close with how to do that in resting in God's will in this way that we follow Christ. Let's begin with fleshly curiosity. Jesus challenged Peter's fleshly curiosity. Jesus had just told Peter he was going to die for Christ. And now he wanted to know what would happen to John. Jesus had revealed his plan for Peter's life, and now Peter wanted to know Jesus' plan for John's life. Peter was already getting distracted. Do you see that? He turns around. Jesus just said, follow me, and the first thing that Peter does is, well, look at this man behind me. Do you see what's going on? If I do that as a preacher, it's very rude, right? If I turn my back towards you, I'm not looking towards you anymore. I'm looking in a different direction. And Peter does the same thing, right? He's in conversation with Jesus, and Jesus says, follow me. And the first thing Peter does is look somewhere else and wonders about the spiritual life of others. He's beginning to look sideways or backwards rather than forwards and upwards. And this is fleshly curiosity. It's looking away from Jesus and his way with us by wondering at God's ways with others. It's not a sin in the way that it's a willful disobedience to God, and yet it's being led by the flesh, wanting to look elsewhere, wanting to look in other people's lives and God with influence or God's plan with other people rather than following Christ. It might look good, but it's not the best will for our life. Now, this fleshly curiosity distracts us from following Jesus because it makes us dabble in things that we cannot understand. And I think we all do that sometimes. If we go through hardships, we wonder, well, what about that person? Why is God walking with that person in such a life of comfort, and he's just singing praises to God all day because he doesn't suffer, and yet I go through pain after pain? Or in other ways, we can look perhaps in a different way. Why has God gifted that sister with so much grace, and every word she speaks seems to land and all the eyes go open and wonder about, want to hear more about Christ? And when I speak, my gift seems to be unknown. Wondering about other people's spiritual lives. Well, this is the fruit. You see, it leads us to depression if we think that others are more blessed because we look away from Christ. It leads us to be proud if we think that others are less blessed than us. It leads us to be sorrowful if we think that others make more progress, or it makes us arrogant if we think that we have progressed further than others. It makes us confused if we can't understand God's way with us when we compare it to others. This fleshly curiosity is never helpful, for we never fully understand the picture. We do not know the grace that God has placed in other people's hearts. You might have an enormous amount of special grace in your heart by which you can go through great pain, where others have less grace to go through that kind of pain. You don't know what the others have received, and you don't know what's inside the others' hearts. And so it's not helpful at all to look at other people to evaluate God's plans with other people's lives. And we do not know the process that God is leading other brothers and sisters through. We do not understand the purposes of God in the blessings and hardships of others. And so the more we look at others, the more confused we're going to be. And so what Jesus says to Peter, he says, well, Peter, if I'm going to let him live until the day that I return, it's none of your business. You see, he's not saying that John will stay to the day of Peter's return. He is making the absolute most glorious place. And he says, if I'm going to let John be that one disciple that will see me in my return, if I'll give him that great blessing, that's nothing for you to worry about. It's none of your business. And so this fleshly curiosity is destructive for our own spiritual life. To be a busybody about God's way with others will destroy and discourage your own spiritual life. The more you are focused on God's way with others, the less you'll be able to focus on Christ. I have seen not one, but many people who are always concerned about God's ways with others, and all I want to do is look up. Brother, look up, sister. Aren't you supposed to follow Christ? You're so distracted by looking at your brothers and sisters at breakfast that your own breakfast bowl never gets empty. You never eat the food that is given to you. You never get satisfied by the blessing that God has given you because you're always looking at others. The more you're focused on others, the less you see the grace of God in your own lives. The more you're curious about others, the less you'll experience God's way in your own lives. You see, there's a trend in Christianity today that seeks to feed this fleshly curiosity. And these are Christians who constantly seek to know God's way in other people's life. And they live off beautiful testimonies and exciting stories of God's providence in other people's lives. And they love to hear testimonies, which in itself is not bad. But they forget to look at Christ. They're not looking what God has done, but they're wondering what God will do in other people's lives. And they themselves are not involved in God's word anymore, or in prayer, or in wrestling through the things that God is doing in their lives. The focus is not so much anymore on God's word, but on the experience and how these other believers feel or felt. Experience and feelings that they wish they had but never have. And so they're so busy with worrying or being anxious about things they don't have that other people have, that they can never have it because they never look to Christ himself. They keep looking to others rather than to Christ. Now we should share testimonies of what God has done, and we should listen to testimonies for what God has done, but always so that we would direct our face towards Christ and glorify Him. And so these testimonies have their place, but there's a danger for fleshly curiosity here, and I think it's rampant and destructive in the life of many, so that when I hear people, and I've heard brothers, young brothers in Christ, when I share about God's word and they're going to share with me, and all they do is what other people have told them. And I tell them, I said, you're giving me secondhand food. That's never good, right? If somebody else has chewed on it, then you have chewed on it, and then you tell me, eat it. I don't want to eat that kind of food. I want food that's prepared in your heart, that God has used in your heart, by which your personal walk with Christ and the way that you walk with Christ to your difficulties in life. And give me those testimonies. Walk with Christ. And then you will know His way in your life and you won't be so confused. This is what I mean. We can listen to testimonies in such a way that it doesn't bring us closer to God, but makes us depressed about what we lack. We begin to compare ourselves with others rather than seek God. It creates a kind of secondhand Christianity. We begin to speak about what others have experienced, said, or heard, rather than walking with Christ ourselves. We begin to follow the testimonies of others rather than experiencing our own life with God. Where are your eyes fixed upon, brothers and sisters? Are your eyes fixed upon God? Now, your eyes should be fixed upon others to help them and bless them, right? To point them to Christ. But if you seek to get your joy or your direction from what everybody else is experiencing, you're walking in the wrong way. Don't worry about that. You must follow me, the Lord Jesus says. And so we come to this point of spiritual guidance. It's in John 21, verse 22. If it's my will that he will remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Jesus is extremely emphatic here. It's even more so in the Greek. Jesus says, if I want to give him the greatest privilege imaginable to be there when I come, it doesn't concern you at all. Don't worry about it. And then he says this, you follow me. Now in verse 19, it looks like a repetition, right? In verse 19, it says, follow me. But in verse 22, he says, you must follow me, right? He is getting Peter, he's getting him almost nose to nose, looking in his eyes, and he's saying, you and me. That's what this is about. You must follow me. It's almost, John almost goes out of his way of trying to emphasize this in a Greek way of putting it together. Jesus is very direct with Peter. Why? Because he loves him. Because he loves Peter. And he doesn't want Peter to get distracted. He doesn't want Peter to begin to worry about Christ's ways with others. He says, I have a way with you and it's perfect in your life and it's full of fruit, bearing fruit for my kingdom. But there's only one way that's going to happen. It's as if you follow me, if you abide in me. Ring a bell, right? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you follow me, if you abide in me, if you're connected to me, you will bear much fruit. And I think what Christ is doing to Peter here, he's not just correcting a little tweaking in his spiritual life. He's setting him on a course that he would follow the rest of his life. He says, Peter, I have a walk with you through this life, and you need all eyes on me if you're going to bear fruit. And so he will set him over the lambs and over the sheep, and he will make him useful in his kingdom, but it's only possible if you must follow me, Peter. And Jesus knows that he would, if he were to indulge in his fleshly curiosity and be worried and concerned about everybody else's walk with Christ and how much Christ is blessing them or blessing him and compared to them, he would make shipwreck of his ministry and perhaps even his faith. But he tells Peter, it's not for you to know how I will lead John, but you need to focus on me. So, brothers and sisters, what is your focus? Do you follow Christ? Listen, I find this so beautiful, because even though it's a rebuke, it's really a delightful rebuke, isn't it? Because Peter has just been restored, right? And Peter has confessed to Jesus 3 times, "You know that I love you." And now Jesus comes to Peter and he says, "I want you to just follow me. I want you to stay close to me." Isn't that just exactly what a father or a mother would do with their children? I want you to stay close to me. Follow me. Don't look away to the things that could be a ravine or where you could get yourself hurt. Stay with me. Follow me. Keep your eyes on me. That's what he says to us this morning. You with me. You must follow me. Don't be worried about others. I have my way with all of your brothers and sisters, and they must follow me too, but you must follow me for you, because I have much work to do in your life and with your life, and I know the path that is just right to get you in perfect shape, so to speak, for the work that is before you. You see, Jesus' spiritual guidance is at the same time very simple and very complicated. Because if I told you this morning, well, all of you, if you've never heard this, follow Jesus, you can stay. But if you've ever heard this before, you can leave. I guarantee you that everybody would have left. Because if you'd be honest to that question, you've all have heard that you, as a Christian, must follow Christ. And yet, in all of our lives, I think if I would study and I would walk with you and hear your thoughts, I think this Peter-ish behavior is in all of us, right? That we begin to wonder about others, and we begin to think about what is God doing with other people. And we begin to look away rather than looking at Christ. And so in a way it's simple, because we already know who to follow. It's Jesus. We don't have to worry about complicated plans, schemes, and strategies. Our purpose in life is to follow Jesus. It's also simple that it's unchanging. We never have a change of guard or a change of leader or a change of master or a change of will or a change of law. We always follow the same God. Every day we learn him better, we know him more, we love him more, and he never changes. And so it's very simple that once we follow Christ, we just keep following him. Now the journey is exciting, right? Because our life is constantly in ups and downs and stress and pressures and joy and delight, and all of that in life comes together. But the one we follow doesn't change. And so that it gives us strength in our life that we know in whom we have believed. And he is faithful to keep that which I have entrusted to him. That's also simply beautiful. There's nothing so joyful, so marvelous, so beautiful as to follow Jesus. To see him walk before us. To me, when I read this passage, I had a big smile on my face and great joy in my heart, because Jesus calls me to follow him. He tells us to follow him. To see him walk before me all the days of my life, to see his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his patience, his love, his loving kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness before me, and I am simply to follow him day by day. That's beautiful, and it's beautifully simple. The Christian life is not about becoming a rocket science in something very complicated. No, it's being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, to follow him and no one else. And lastly, it's simple in that it takes away worries and anxieties. This is where the key is. If you're one who easily worries and is easily anxious, I can guarantee it's because you look away from Christ. You follow him for a while, and then when hardship comes in your life, you think, well, now I need to be concerned about other things. Now I need to worry about other people or future or past. And Jesus says, you, me, you must follow me. I know where this journey ends, and it's my destined end for your life. And it's a good end, because even though there's a scary river at the end, I know how I will lead you through and bring you safely to the other shore. You don't have to worry about the outcome of life, but only keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will lead you through. Jesus will walk such a way with you that there will be no temptations or dangers that you will not be able to handle, that he will give you an escape out of every danger, out of every anxiety, always in your life. And that he will find a way through all the pressures of your life. When you think this is impossible to live through, how can I get on the other side? How can I bear this grief and this pain and this anxiety? And Jesus says, you, me, you must follow me, because I will lead you through. I am already on the other side of this pain. I'm already on the other side of this anxiety. And my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient to help you through to the other side. In the same way that a loving shepherd will not lead his sheep near the edge of the ravine to make him fall, so Christ will walk us in paths that's not easy, but he will always lead us through to the other side. The Lord knows what we are capable of, and he will lead us in a way that is suitable for us and our growth as Christians. And so the Christian life is simply to follow Jesus. Now, if you wonder what the Christian life is and what it looks like in a graph, if you're a graphic person in that sense, I think the Christian life goes like this in hardship. In the beginning, it seems to be fine and you're happy and easy. And then as life goes, the hardship increases and you feel, how can I possibly make this steep hill? Well, here you couldn't. But he has trained you every day for the next step. And you think, well, why does this life have to get harder? Why not easier? Well, what you don't see is that as your body strengthens and as your patience strengthens, your glory and your brilliance and your Christ-likeness increases, so that once you enter into heaven, you reflect him more beautifully and more gloriously. As though every hardship gives a new color that we have never seen or imagined to reflect Christ's glory and more brilliance and more beauty. And so the more hardships you face and walk with them through Christ, one day you'll look back and you see, oh, how this little pain has brought in me such an eternal weight of glory. As the Apostle Paul said, and he describes his life, I mean, beaten to death, left for death, drowned. I mean, the man didn't look like a man anymore by the end of his life, because he had been beaten up in so many times, carried all the pressures and anxieties. He was hated everywhere. They need to carry him off in a basket because a whole city is trying to kill him. And he says, oh, this little weight of anxiety, what an eternal weight of glory will it give me? You follow Jesus, and he will lead you through. And as he leads you through, he will make you filled with the beauty of Christ, so that one day your soul will reflect the glory of Christ more beautifully. But it's also complicated. It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy. It's not complicated because of Jesus, but because of us. In a way, it's very easy to follow Christ if you were Christ. If you were a perfect man that had a heart full of love and a heart full of righteousness, you march after Christ. You never worry about looking to the left or the right, which is the life of Christ. But the simplicity of following Jesus is complicated by our restless hearts and our temptation to look elsewhere. There is in us this restless urge to look away from Christ and to believe that there's greener pasture somewhere else, to see if we've been missing out. Right? It's the same in this world where people look at their neighbors and they're mowing their grass with some kind of machine, and then they look at their neighbors and he has the newer type, and suddenly this piece of machinery that you had becomes useless. You need to have that one. Whatever example you want to follow, I'm not so good with the examples that women might, but I'm sure there's a multiplicity of examples that you can use. When somebody else is something newer or better or more beautiful, suddenly that which you have loses all its value. Well, it's the same in the spiritual life when you let the flesh rule. You walk and you think that your life is fine, but then you see somebody else or you hear somebody else that has some experience with God, and suddenly your whole Christian life is useless. Or it's too hard. Or it's unfair. That makes it complicated, because then you look away from Christ. And your body, your flesh, wants to look away from Christ every day of the week. But that's when you get yourself in trouble. Right? If you've read the Pilgrim's Progress, they're walking on their way and they're rejoicing, and then suddenly they see some pastures off to the side. And they think, this is just a wonderful place. And as they come in, they're like, oh, this is a wonderful green pasture. And they lie down, they fall asleep, only to wake up in the midst of a giant. And they're chained. That's kind of how this life goes, right? We're walking with Christ, we're happy about it, but then our restless soul makes us to look somewhere else. And before we know it, we're in despondency, or we're depressed, or we're in sorrow. And Christ says, you must follow me. Follow my path. Don't worry whether your path is good or bad. Your path is perfect because I say so, because I know what you're capable of. And when you think this is too much for me, guess what? It's not too much for me, because I can make you come through this to the other side by faith. But also Satan seeks to distract us to look at other people with jealousy or anxiety or envy or pride, to make it appear as though Jesus loves others more than us, as though he blesses others more than he blesses us. That's Satan. That's not Christ. That's not the Spirit. And that's not God speaking. That's your flesh speaking that makes you look at others. Because as soon as he makes you look at others, you're not looking at Christ. And then all these things enter your heart and they become a battlefield, don't they? I know your heart. I know your temptations. I know the emotions in your heart. You know why? Not because God whispered them in my ear, not because I have a chart with all your names and in the morning there's words of all your anxieties. It's because they're in my heart. Because I struggle with the same things that you struggle with, as Peter struggled with. We all look to others. We turn around and look to others. And so we are challenged in the Christian life by Christ himself this morning. Look at me. Follow me. You to me. You must follow me. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter how the Lord might deal with your fellow believers, for us to keep looking on Jesus and to follow him, to follow Christ alone. So how can we overcome that curiosity in our hearts? How can we respond to the anxieties that are suggested to our hearts? How can we follow Jesus without getting sidetracked? Well, I think that brings us to our third point, resting in God's will. To lay it off, all this moving of your soul, all these wandering thoughts, to lay them by Christ. And you say, Christ, you deal with this, and I will take up your burden, your yoke, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And these self-afflicted burdens, they weigh me down until my face is in the mud, and my eyes are blinded, my ears are full with sand, and my tongue cannot speak anymore. But if I carry your yoke, you will lead me to the green pastures. You will set a table before my enemies. In you I can rejoice, because you say, seek my face. My heart says, your face, O Lord, do I seek. When Peter told Jesus was simply this, "Don't concern yourself with my dealings with the other disciples. You follow me. I will take care of John and the other disciples. You don't have to worry about that. They have their own ways to walk with me." In other words, rest in God's will for your life. And don't concern yourself in the way that God deals with others. Are you doing that this morning, my brother and sister? I want to point my finger to you to show that I'm talking to you, but that would give you the idea that I'm saying it from a strict heart or some kind of earnest. Well, I am earnest, but in a strict, demanding sense. But I really want to put my arm around you and says, are you resting in God? Do you walk with him? Do you follow him? Don't worry where you are in the spectrum of grace. You follow Christ step by step. You keep your eyes on him and your anxiety and your pain. Don't look at others, how God is dealing with others and how that compares to you. You look at Christ and he will lead you through. And now we see Peter's life in the book of Acts, and we can understand why Jesus said this to Peter, didn't he? Jesus had great plans with Peter to preach the gospel to the world, to lead the New Testament church and write to letters that have been read by millions of believers. Why? Why could this simple, bold, and sometimes ignorant Peter be of such use to Christ? Because he followed. Because he followed Jesus. And he didn't worry about John. He loved John. He cared for John, but he wasn't comparing himself with John, you see. And that's the key to Seven Reformed Church. We ought to love one another in a way that we're willing to do anything for one another. But we shouldn't compare ourselves with one another. We shouldn't be jealous or anxious or depressed by one another, but rather to say, you must follow Christ. Don't follow me in a way that you want to become just like me. Well, you can walk with me as I follow Christ, but Christ has a different way for you. But he gives you the measure of grace to walk in your life, in your hardships, in your pain. Now, I'm convinced that all of this usefulness in Peter's life depended completely on Peter's focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's resting in God's will for his life wherever it would lead. And so Peter didn't wonder anymore about God's plan with the other disciples. Peter wasn't wondering about God's plan for his life in 5 to 10 years. Peter simply followed Jesus and rested in God's sovereign will. So what about you, my dear brothers and sisters? Are you at rest in God's will for your life? I know what some of you are saying. You don't know the hardships I'm going through. You don't know the pain of loss that I'm now suffering. You don't know what it means to be when all your friends and all your siblings are gone before you and you feel alone in the world. I don't. You don't know what it means to be diagnosed with all kinds of things. You don't know what it means to have a heart that you know that could stop any moment. You don't know, and you're right. I don't. But Christ does. And it's not me saying to you, follow me. It's Christ that says it. Whatever circumstances you're in, Jesus says to you, you, me, you must follow me. So do you follow Christ? Or are you focused upon all the other people in this life? Well, it is to us this morning that our precious Lord speaks to us through his Spirit, and he calls us to rest in his will, to rely upon him, and to follow him. For our God is a sovereign God who knows our needs, our weaknesses, and our gifts, and he will lead us in the way we should go. And all we have to do is trust in him. And he will lead us to the other side. Whether it's in life or in death, my body and soul belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He uses all circumstances, all our pain, all our joys to lead us in the way he wants us to go. As with Peter, so he will carry us to places we might not want to go. Or he may keep us until the day in which he will return. Maybe one of you, and maybe there's a John here that will be here when Christ returns. But God in his sovereignty has laid out a plan for us, and that plan is to simply follow Christ, to rest on his will, not to look to the left or to the right, but to look to him. Well, I want to speak a final word to some of you who've never heard the voice of Jesus. You're not like Peter, who knew Jesus. You don't know what it means to stand here and listen to Christ. You never have come to him with personal faith for salvation. You still have your conscience burdened with sin. You still don't know him by the Spirit. You might greatly doubt if Jesus would even be interested in you, whether he would even care about you. You might feel a guilty conscience and think that God could never love you. You'd be wrong. Because Jesus says to you this morning, you, me, you must come and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, lay your life to the side, die to yourself, but follow me. Give up your righteous works, give up your sin, lay them to the side, and you come follow me. But what would other people say? What if the other people know what I have done? God says, I know it all together. And if you come and follow me, I will wash you clean by my own blood. And I will take the sin from you, and I will cast it away as far as the east is from the west. I will cast it in the deepest ocean. That's where they call the eternal night of the ocean, where it's never to be found. I've removed your sin from you, and it will never be found. I've touched your lips, and they are clean. So even you, my dear friends, come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to follow you. O Lord Jesus Christ, what simple words you spoke to Peter. Help us, Lord, to live that simple life of following Christ. O Lord, what a goodness to know that we are all on the same road, and yet we all have a different path to follow. And yet none of us, if we are Christ, follow that path alone, but walk with Christ, by Christ, through his Spirit. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us to overcome the restlessness of the flesh, to look to the side, to look to the left and the right, or to look on our own strength, but to look forward and upward, to follow Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to do this. I pray especially for those who have not come to know you in spirit and in truth, that you would help them to follow you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.